Welcome to the Limitless Being Podcast. I am Danielle Sharkey, your host, here to be a guide on this journey of life. This is a space cultivated with the intentions of connection, vulnerability, spirituality, limitless knowledge, explorative conversations, and unlimited potential. I am here to spread love while activating freedom within the collective consciousness. I am a digital nomad, an entrepreneur, and a magnetic spiritual being here to help you activate your power so that you can cultivate the life of your dreams. This container I have created is a safe space for us all to have conversations which lead us toward liberation, acceptance, and radical love of yourself. If you have found this podcast, it is by no accident. You have been guided here because there's a part of you who's ready to stop making excuses and live the life you've imagined. So join me and my guests here every Thursday.
So it is going to be divided into two parts. The first part of this episode is absolutely incredible. Enjoy. You'll get about an hour and 15 minutes of content.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Limitless Being Podcast. Today, I have a very, very special guest, Jess. She is a menstrual cycle syncing and sexuality coach for women who's made it her mission to empower women to awaken to the magic of their menstrual cycle and live in their fullest sexual expression. Jess, we met on TikTok. I remember seeing your content. We followed each other a while ago, I think. And mm-hmm. I love your message. I love what you're preaching. Welcome, welcome, mm-hmm. welcome. I'm so happy
Thank
to have you here.
Sister. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes. Incredible. Okay. So you do a lot and I love it. I love the truth that you speak. I love the authenticity. I'm curious. When you started this journey into menstrual health, into cycle syncing, into the feminine sexual expression?
Let's see. So I feel like, I'm sure you can understand this as someone who is like on a spiritual journey and who has had like a spiritual path. I mean, my journey started, like my awakening journey started probably back in like 2018-ish. Mm-hmm. And that was when like I had my full-blown like spiritual awakening. And then from there, it just kind of evolved. And as I started progressing deeper into my healing journey, I had a lot of sexual trauma that I needed, mm-hmm. I wanted to heal. And so when I started learning about healing this sexual trauma, I stumbled upon womb work, basically, and womb healing.
Yes.
And that was when my mind was blown. I was like, oh my gosh, like this is it. Like, as women, we have this incredibly powerful portal living and breathing inside of us that's both energetic and physical. It's like the spiritual and the physical, all combined into one inside of our physical bodies. And so that just like shot me off on this like deep journey of around like womb work and womb healing. And, you know, once you start getting into the womb world, you can't really be in the womb world without like learning more about our periods. And that it was like one thing led to another. And that's how I stumbled upon menstrual cycle syncing and like learning about the female menstrual cycle. And so prior to about 3 years ago, my work was more around like the healing journey, like spiritual awakening and the healing journey. And then, but I always had this feeling that the work that I was going to be doing in the future was going to almost be more, I just knew that there was something else that was coming and I just didn't know what it was. And then when I started diving into the world of womb work and then discovering the menstrual cycle, I was like, this is it. Like, this is the work that I had literally no other choice but to like dedicate my entire life to. So it's been a, like the last 3 years or so that I have been like very invested in, moving more into the spiritual and energetic side of things around specifically relating to like womb work and womb healing. But also, I've like dove into the scientific side of our female anatomy and hormones and our cycles. So my mission is to kind of marry the two and like bring that in into the world.
Wow, what a beautiful, beautiful path. And there's so much to unpack there because I was even just feeling a mixture of emotions as you were speaking about it, because I think number one, I know that there's so many women out there that don't even know what the word womb means. Like, I was one of them a while ago. And number two, to think about, I had a similar awakening as you, so I have information now. But to think about so many women that don't even know about the phases of our period, the different hormones that we have in our body that are frequently changing on a daily, weekly basis, related to our cycle. The power of the womb, the spiritual, energetic power of the womb, the list really goes on, and the emotions come from number one, the shame that I felt myself around just saying the word period, just saying, womb or vagina or right. And the fact that I can't say, even say these certain words on social media platforms, or I will get right. So it's like the oppression is still there. And so I feel how important, how potent this path and you speaking is, because I even know talking about it right now or posting something about it, there still is so much resistance within me. And I'm sure that that's something that you combat. Not that it's your inner resistance, it's the world's resistance. I'm sure that's something that you combat and transmute on a daily basis when you're posting it, working with people. Would you say that that's true?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that, I think that is, I mean, we live in a world where women have been, I mean, we've been conditioned to be disconnected from our power. Like, we live in a patriarchal society where the conditioning has been so present and so strong for so long to keep women disconnected from their power. And what women don't, a lot of women don't realize, and I didn't realize before either, was the fact that our power comes from our womb. Like, we are creators. We are the ultimate powerhouses on this freaking planet. Like, we are power, and we wouldn't be able to create new life if but for our periods. If our body didn't go through this incredibly beautiful, divine, intricate process every single month. And, you know, I received a channeled message about a year or so ago around like why women struggle so much with embracing their periods and why there's so much resistance. And the message that came through was, if a woman is unable to embrace the power of her own body, she will reject that part of herself and then in turn reject all of these other parts of herself that are potentially tied to her power, to her creativity, her sexuality. And it's like our bleed is the most intrinsic part of what makes us a woman. And so if you are a woman and you are rejecting that part of you, which to no fault of women of our generation, because we've been very conditioned to reject it, but that's part of the narrative that's conditioned us to reject it so that we can stay disconnected from our power, so that we're easier to control and manipulate and so on and so forth. And so we like it, as much as it's about embracing our periods and our bleed and our cycle and our womb, it's more so about the acceptance of our power. And that's really what it comes down to, you know, is as women, can we actually accept the fact that we are that fucking powerful?
Mm.
And, you know, I get a lot of resistance to my post things on TikTok or Instagram about, you know, I had a video go viral last year where it was just, it was actually so funny. It was a very innocent, well, innocent video. I created a video one day of a ritual that I do where I give my period blood to the earth.
I've done that before.
It's amazing.
It's an incredibly healing ritual.
Yeah. And so I had made this video and like honestly forgot about it. And it was just sitting in my drafts. And then one day I was going through my drafts and I was like, oh, I forgot I made this video. So I just posted it. And I mean, it went, gosh, I think it maybe has like 7 or 8 million views. I was getting contacted by reporters from like all over the world, like
what?
Stations reaching out to me, like, it was the craziest thing. And it was so funny because I was like completely shocked by how much it, this little video generated.
It dismantles the general public.
Yes, yes, yes. And it's just that video alone was such a potent message for me because I was like, wow, there's work. There is so much more work to be done in this space than even I realized. You know, I was like getting death threats. I was being told I needed to be locked up in like an asylum. Like it was, girl.
Wait, are you for real?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there was one point when I almost took the video down because I was getting so much hate that like it was, there was a point where it was kind of getting to me. And then I just realized I was in shock. Yeah, still, I was in shock.
That's scary.
Yeah, yeah. And it just, I didn't take it down. You know, it's still up. And because I just came to the realization of, okay, like this is causing so much resistance in people. And I couldn't believe the amount of women who were in the comments saying like, oh my gosh, like my blood is so gross. My period is so gross. I wish I didn't have a period. Like all of these things. And it honestly just broke my heart more than anything else because I'm just sitting here thinking like, sister, if you're rejecting the most intrinsic part of you that makes you a woman, what else are you rejecting? Mm. You know? And so it was a very eye-opening experience of,
yeah,
okay, this needs to be bigger conversation.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I am somebody that does work with my monthly blood. I put it on my face. I use it in candle magic. I have like made sigils with it. And I have never once said that out loud. So yeah. I'm outing myself right now. But also I have been, there's so much to dissect here as well, because with that shame, once you start awakening, right, it's like you realize everything that you've been told is a lie. And this goes for almost every area of life, right?
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Especially as a woman. Mm-hmm. And what I know now is that your period blood, it actually holds stem cells. And also mm-hmm. from working with different indigenous tribes where I've traveled, not mm-hmm. working with, but learning from, mm-hmm. they believe, and also a lot of ancient civilizations believe mm-hmm. that your menstrual blood is the most potent
yes.
and powerful liquid on the planet. It's like liquid yes. gold.
Yes.
And so I know people are listening to this. I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of feedback from this, but a lot of whatever is going to come from saying this out loud. But it's like truth versus the lies that you were told. And mm-hmm. the truth is your blood does hold so much power. It holds
yes.
so much potency, and it does hold healing properties as well as mm-hmm. spiritual properties that tribes all around the world will tell you because
yes.
they have been honoring the feminine and honoring the cycles, just as we honor the cycles as Mother Earth for centuries.
Yes.
And
I would.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
And I'm curious how do you ease someone into that? How would you ease a client into that? Or what would you tell a listener right now that's listening to us say all of these things that maybe they've never heard in their lives to ease the judgment on themselves and also on what they've been told previously?
That's a really good question. Because I think like in some ways there is this complete like dismantling that does have to happen on so many levels. But you know, like if I am working with a woman who is like very resistant, like I would never tell a woman right off the bat, like, okay, well, you need to go collect your period blood and give it to the earth. You need to paint your face with your period blood. Like I wouldn't do that because it's just too much.
It takes a while.
You've got to ease your way into it, you know? And so like I always encourage women to think about more or less like what your period represents and looking at the cycle from a whole and looking at the entire, like not isolating your period, but looking at like the entire cycle as a whole as to like what your body is actually doing. And, you know, it's our entire menstrual cycle quite literally mirrors the seasons of the earth. It mirrors the moon. We go through death and rebirth within our bodies every single month. And our period is only one tiny little part of it, you know? And so something that I talk to women about a lot is how you can use your period as this incredible tool for manifesting, for example, because our period is this time where we're physically shedding and releasing on an energetic level. It's an opportunity for us to shed and release. And so when you look back, like you mentioned, in ancient cultures and civilizations, the original like ancient shamans, well, the original shamans were actually shamanas. They were women.
Of course.
And when shaman would go on their shamanic journeys, they were actually journeying into the portal of the womb, because the portal of the womb, our womb is, it's the dark, it's the void. And in the void, the space is limitless. There's infinite possibility. It's a portal of creation. And so if you think about your period is being this time when physically and energetically you're entering into the void, you're entering into the space of limitless possibility where you can create anything. It's like a blank slate. And so I find that oftentimes talking about concepts like this of like, hey, when your period comes around, use this as an opportunity to think about what's not serving you in your life. And like, as you're bleeding and your body's releasing, think about what you're shedding and what you're letting go of so that you can create whatever the fuck you want, so that you can call in the life that you desire or whatever it is. And so I think that like talking about it on these like, you know, almost like bigger on a conceptual basis is like a really nice intro to starting to like get more comfortable, because all of a sudden you're thinking about it in terms of, well, it's not just this painful, horrible time of the month. There's actually this whole other like really beautiful purpose that I can use this actually to my advantage in my life. And it's also a time when we are our most, we have, what do I want to say? The easiest access, I guess, you easy access to the divine. Spiritually, when a woman is menstruating, it is when she's the most connected to everything, to all that is. And in fact, like so much so to the point that I was drinking ayahuasca in Colombia at one point.
Similar thoughts, sister.
Yeah. And I was actually not able to sit in ceremony.
Because
I started my bleed. And the shaman was like, I'm sorry, but your energy is so incredibly potent. Like the energy of a woman on her period is so incredibly powerful that it could basically impact everyone else's journeys. And so
I started mine right before ceremony, and they still served me in Colombia. Yeah.
Yeah. It can be obviously, you know, different tribes, but I was like, oh wow. And it's funny because that happened way before I ever even learned about like any of this stuff, you know. And I've always thought about that ever since, because I was like, wow, it's always been recognized, you know, and that was a passed down belief. It's always been recognized that a woman is her most powerful, in tune, her wisest when she's bleeding. Mm-hmm. And last thing I'll say on this, just because it's a really cool fact, is that our brain composition changes throughout the course of our menstrual cycle. And when we're bleeding, our right brain and our left brain have the clearest path to communication to each other. So your period is also an amazing time to make really important decisions, because your pathways literally in your brain are very clear. And so when we look back at our ancestors, like tribal councils, they would never make a decision for the tribe without first going to the bleeding women, because they knew that the bleeding women were so in tune and could think with their right brain, their feeling, and their logic, and make the best decision. And so really the point being, like, menstruating women should be leading the world, but like, there's just all of these like really, really cool things that the world doesn't know about, that women don't know about. And right. I feel like when we start talking about these things, all of a sudden, you know, women are like, oh wow, that's actually really cool, or that's amazing, or now I'm seeing this in a different light.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. Sorry, that was a long answer, but
no,
there's like so much.
I'm here for it. I'm just like a sponge. I'm absorbing. Mm. I'm holding space. No, it's perfect. It's perfect. What's just coming through again is that all of the truth is in the ancient wisdom. And we live in a time right now, I know you see it. I mean, you went to Colombia, you're nomadic as well, right? You're in Spain mm-hmm. right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, again, little side tangent, but Spain is also calling me. Spain, like, calling a lot of people right now. So, but like, you're nomadic. Your name on Instagram is Awaken the Wild, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's really all encompassing that we are meant to come back to these practices, to this indigenous wisdom, to the wisdom of nature.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the secrets, all of the truths that have been hidden are there, you know?
Yep.
And especially when it comes to women and the womb and our cycles and our blood and our shedding. It's really interesting too, because I had, when I was living in Arizona, one of my healers, she's a Reiki master acupuncturist and also does Chinese medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a Chinese medicine doctor. Wow. And she says the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. Completely different background, but mm-hmm. still ancient medicine, Chinese medicine, yep. and says the same thing. She says, and this is really important, I want, you know, everybody to hear this as I say this, is if you get intuitive hits on your period, like those are truth. So whatever is coming through for me, for example, back in the day when she was telling me this, it was like, I needed to leave my ex-boyfriend. Okay.
Oh, shit.
So at that point, it was like, especially when I was on my period, I didn't want to be around him. I didn't want to be in a relationship. I didn't want to. That is not by coincidence.
No.
Just like what Jess said, when you are on your period, you are the most open, you are the most connected, and the messages and information that you receive are not clouded at all.
Yep.
So definitely listen to that.
Yes.
Don't push it away. Don't run from it. But it's so funny because the mainstream will tell you, well, when you're on your period, you are out of touch with reality. You're crazy. You don't know left from right. You don't know this.
Right.
You're delusional. You're illogical. You're irrational. You're too emotional to make any decision. Right.
Right.
But that's the lie.
Yes. And literally, from a scientific standpoint, when a woman is bleeding, her hormone levels are at their absolute lowest. So like, in terms of like, it's a very quiet time in our bodies. It's not, and drives me crazy when I hear people say like, oh, you're just being like hormonal because you're on your period. I'm like, no, actually, Like, your hormones aren't actually doing anything right now. The reason why I think, like, women, why there's this, like, bad rap around this is because of the fact that this is a time of the month that we're meant to recharge ourselves. We're meant to go inwards. We're meant to take a break from the world. And because our hormone levels are so low, our energy levels are also very low. And so what happens is, you know, it's pretty normal that if you're exhausted and you're running on an empty battery, like, nobody can think well when you haven't got enough sleep or when you're not well rested. Like, of course you're not going to make the best decisions, right? Like, it has nothing to do with hormones. It has to do with the fact that women are operating most of the time so heavily in the masculine that they're not ever giving themselves that period and that time of rest. So when their period comes around and you're naturally going to be more tired because your hormone levels are low and it's supposed to be a time of rest, and women are just like pushing through and trying to act as if their period wasn't happening. Meanwhile, our bodies are literally shedding part of its lining. It's like, well, it makes sense why I might actually be a bit more irritable and touchy right now, because I'm exhausted, my body's shedding. Like, and so it's like we have to reframe this whole narrative around how we need to take care of ourselves, and especially when we're on our periods. And if we actually live with our natural biology as women and use this as a period of time to like rest, recharge, go inward, ask questions, really use it as this like really precious time to hibernate, then we do get that clarity. We do have the ability to like make potent decisions and to, you know, receive incredible downloads and, you know, make decisions and all of that. But it's like, we have to learn how to, there's like this whole other narrative that has to be shifted to give women permission to actually embrace resting.
Right.
And right. Like that. And that's kind of like a whole other topic is like, now we have all of these other societal factors at play that haven't given women the space. We have had women fighting just to even be paid equally for so long. There are all these other issues at play that have forced women to step out of their feminine so much so to the point that it's making our periods miserable. Mm-hmm. Whereas if we just listened to our bodies and lived in sync with our biology, like, we wouldn't have miserable periods. We wouldn't have painful periods. And we could use it as this really beautiful time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's difficult though, you know, as you were saying, like, women need to rest more. We need to take care of ourselves better. All I was hearing is, but in a society that won't allow us to.
Yeah.
And you and I think we have created a life and the space and the work and the business and all of these things that have allowed us to honor ourselves wherever we're at, whenever we're at. And obviously there's sometimes things that come into the mix where we can't
right
be as in tune or whatever it may be. But most women, and this is where I get caught up sometimes, because I am surrounded and connected to by also people that have created their own paths and made their own lives and created their own reality, right? And have also awakened to many of these facts. But most women will probably hear that and say, rest? I can't. Right. Like, I have five kids. I'm working three jobs. I'm this, I'm that, whatever. And it's so crazy to see. It's so intense to see how intentional the structure of the society that we live in now was for the disempowerment of the feminine.
Yeah.
Because if we all knew our powers, if we were all connected to our wombs and the power of our period bloods and our cycles and our sexuality and XYZ, it's game over. I mean, we would be living in Eden, right?
Exactly.
We would be living in heaven on earth.
Heaven on earth.
And so there is a piece where it feels like a lot of it was so intentional, and that can feel really dark and really heavy. And then the other piece is, okay, for the typical woman that is stuck in the matrix, for lack of better terms,
yeah,
how would they go about even remotely trying to understand, let alone apply this information, if their life doesn't allow it?
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. It's tough coming up against like the matrix, right? And the thing that I love about talking about cycle syncing and this stuff is that, like, one of the reasons why it spoke to me so much was because of the fact that it is like something that every single woman goes through. I mean, most women go through, right? Most women have a cycle. Most women have a period. Mm-hmm. And it can, if you're a deeply spiritual person, like, you can embrace your cycle and your period, and it can be this like deeply spiritual journey for you. But if you're not a spiritual person, there's like the scientific side of things and the hormonal side of things that you can still fully embrace, and it's still going to like change so much for you as a woman, you know? And so I find, for example, like, if I'm talking to women who are like, I did a presentation for a corporate company recently, and like, I didn't really talk about the spiritual side of things because I knew my audience. And so these were business women that I was talking to. So to them, I was like, okay, here's how you can use your cycle to your advantage in your career. For example, during your ovulation phase, your brain composition changes so that your verbal skills are at their absolute highest and your cognitive abilities are at their highest, right? So you can take this information and apply this to your career. And if you have important meetings, or you're hosting something, or you, you know, whatever it may be, like, you can start to tailor your life around your cycle so that as a woman, you start to experience the benefits of every phase of your cycle. Mm-hmm. And the irony is that you, even if you start out at it coming from it, cycle syncing it, from like a very like scientific standpoint, it cannot actually stay that way over time. Because when you're cycle syncing, what you're doing is like you're tuning into your body. You're starting to learn the language of your body. You're starting to listen to cues and signals that you've previously probably ignored and didn't even know was there. Because again, as most of us, especially women, we've been taught to ignore our bodies and cues and signals. And we've been taught, oh, well, you know, you have to, if you want to be healthy, that means you have to work out this certain way 5 days a week and eat this diet. And, you know, when I think back to my life before cycle syncing and, you know, having my eyes kind of opened spiritually, I destroyed my body in the name of health. I was on such a restrictive calorie diet because I was told calories in, calories out, right? I killed myself at the gym every day because I was told that if you want a certain result, these are the things you have to do.
Yeah.
And side note, not like women were not included in health research studies. The female body was not included until the late 1990s. So all of the information that most of us grew up receiving around health and fitness was all based off of research on a male body, which is completely different than a female body.
And also postmenopausal women, right? Like, that's the primary amount of research is on men and postmenopausal women, which doesn't take into account the cycle,
hormones, the cycles
at all.
Exactly. And so, like, I never realized that even though my intentions were good and I was trying to be healthy, I was actually, my body was constantly like screaming out to me for attention because I was undernourishing her. I was overworking her. I wasn't getting enough sleep. I was operating so heavily in my masculine that I had no idea what the language of my body was, you know? And so, like, anytime I'm talking to a woman who is like, I really want to start tapping more into my feminine, like, I tell her, girl, the most powerful tool at your disposal is learning about your cycle and learning to live in sync with your cycle. Because when you do that, you're starting to listen to your body. You're starting to develop a relationship with your intuition and these cues and all of these things that slowly start. It doesn't happen overnight, you know, because we have so much conditioning, but it slowly starts to move the needle. And it's like the coolest. I like geek out when I work with women and I get to see them like from, you know, where they start to then. And it's a slow, gradual process to, you know, seeing women get to this place where they're just flourishing and thriving. And I, you know, had a client who, like, now she's like painting every day, like beautiful artwork. And it's like all of these incredible things start to happen when women start listening to their bodies and their cycles, because our feminine is pleasure. It's our creative energy. It's our expression. It's all of this. And like cycle syncing is this like beautiful roadmap to like bring us to this point of allowing our expression of who we are as women to like really flourish. It's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. I started out as a health coach, and I went through the awakening of my, you know, the awakening to this, my cycle, to the different phases, to Elisa Vitti's work, to what is it called? Seed cycling, I believe, as well.
Yeah.
I worked with a naturopathic doctor at the time. She was my friend and she taught me all about that. And we like created a master class. And I say all that because I really do believe when it comes to awakening in general, it starts with the physical body. It definitely starts with the physical body. So I learned, like, you know, what is good to do in business in each phase of the month, what is good to eat in each phase of the month, what is good to, like, what are good exercises, and how should you move the body in each phase of the month, how much rest do you need, that fluctuates in each phase of the month. So I think that's such an incredible tool. I would like to go a little bit deeper, but eventually it does, like you said, lead you to the spiritual. Once things start to balance out, your hormones start to balance. I was just like you. I was working 3, sometimes 4 jobs as a full-time student and working out twice a day. And I was like, I tried keto. I tried vegan keto. I tried vegan. I was vegetarian. I was fasting, but like then so working out twice a day and then working on my feet all day. And I had cystic acne. I had joint pain. My energy levels were shit. I was chugging coffee. Yeah. I was taking Adderall. Like, I was completely, I was killing myself.
Yeah.
For lack of, for honestly, like, I hate to sound dramatic, but I was.
No. You know?
And I was in my early 20s. And through Elisa Vitti's work, I found that, especially if you're doing like HIIT workouts and high intensity interval training and high intensity workouts while you're on your period, you're actually going to retain and sometimes gain weight if you're forcing yourself into that movement. Yeah. So I would love for you to go maybe a little bit more in depth around the different phases of the month, and then recommend just like a few recommendations around each phase as well. And this is what we call cycle syncing, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. There's essentially, there's basically like cycle tracking, which I feel like is what more people are familiar with, which is when you're just, you know, literally tracking where you're at in your cycle. So for example, a lot of women do this when they're trying to get pregnant, and or if you're not on birth control and you're trying to avoid pregnancy, you know, you're just tracking your cycle so you know when you ovulate, so you know you can either go to town or not go to town during that time.
Right.
And then cycle syncing is really when, like, cycle syncing or cycle awareness is really when you start to kind of live your life and make adjustments in your life based on where you're at in your cycle. So we have 4 phases. The first one being our menstrual phase, of course, our period. So this is day one. So if you're new to cycle syncing and new to cycle tracking, day one is when you would like kick off.
Start bleeding.
Yep. So this is when our hormone levels, like I mentioned before, our hormone levels are at their lowest. So this is like a time of the month to like recharge your battery, hibernate, pull away from the world as much as you can, because you want, in the next upcoming phases, you're going to get these spurts of energy. So if you want to be able to capitalize on the energy that's coming in the following phases, like, you have to give yourself the time to rest and reset during your period so that you can actually take advantage. So
can I ask you something really quick?
Yeah, of course.
This is something that I don't think I've confirmed by researching, but I've seen it for years. around the hormones during your menstrual phase. Is it true that testosterone is our highest peaking hormone when we're actually on our periods?
I have never, ever, I saw this, somebody make a TikTok about this the other day, actually. And I was like, and all in the research and the courses that I have taken, like, I have never, ever, ever, ever once heard one person talk about testosterone being, in the menstrual phase. Like, the only time it makes an appearance is when we are ovulating. That's, like, the only time of the month when it, like, kind of peaks. I mean, I
good to know. You know, so that's just a trend kind of, we want to, got it.
Yeah, is part. And I actually am glad you brought that up because I saw that the other day and I was like, I need to do some research. But I mean, I'm a certified hormone specialist and I, like, none of the training or schooling was there ever one mention of testosterone in the menstrual phase.
Don't believe everything that you hear on the internet, folks.
So, you know, in terms of, like, practical tips for the menstrual phase, you know, a big part of just in general cycle syncing is the nutrition aspect, right? Because we want to be able to be fueling our hormones so that they can do their job. And then we want to be able to be fueling our bodies so we can detox hormones so they leave our bodies once they've done their job. And so nutrition is, like, a really big part of, you know, our cycle and our life as women in general. So, like, during your period, which this is also our season of winter. So from, like, a practical standpoint, I always tell women, think about the seasons of your cycle, just like the seasons on Earth. What do you like to do in winter? You like to get cozy. You like to hibernate. You want to eat, like, really rich, hearty, nourishing foods. For me personally, I try my absolute damnedest to not, like, schedule anything that I absolutely don't have to for, like, the first 2 days of my period. After that, you know, I normally feel better energetically. So, you know, I'm more flexible. I realize not every woman can do that, right? You have kids, jobs, and husbands and wives and all sorts of things that, you know, you might not have the luxury of 100% like blocking your calendar off. So my advice is, like, do what you can. So whether that's telling your partner, hey, for the first 2 days of my cycle, if you have kids, like, I'm going to need you to take on the kid duties, or I'm going to need to carve out an hour for myself to take a hot bath or whatever it is.
A big fat nap. Big fat nap.
Yes. Like, anything you can do is better than nothing.
Go bleed into the earth. Go sit.
It's my favorite period, Ben. That's my favorite period.
We need red tents. Bring back the red tents again.
I'm trying. It's in the works.
We'll make a village. We will create a village.
Stop. It's like my dream come true. And yeah, like, from a workout standpoint, like you mentioned, you know, you just want to take it easy. You don't want to put any added stress on your body. It's already going through a lot of stress, you know? So long walks, gentle yoga, stretching.
What about a sauna? Is sauna too? Because I'm just obsessed with the sauna.
Sauna is great. Okay. Because if you think about winter, it's like warming. So another interesting thing is, like, our body temperature is actually at its lowest when we're on our, And so anything you can do to bring in, like, warming aspects into that time of the month is amazing. Hot baths, saunas, heating pads, you know, all the things.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And then from there, we move into our follicular phase, which is approximately like 6 to 8 days long. This is when our estrogen levels start to rise. So this is why we feel typically during this phase like an influx of energy. This is a time in your cycle where you can start to, like, ramp up your workouts. From a food standpoint, you know, just kind of thinking, like, light and fresh. From a metabolic standpoint, women burn less calories in the first half of our cycle. So this is why eating like lighter is wonderful in the first half of the cycle, because we're actually burning less calories versus in the second half. Like, when we're in our luteal phase, we can burn anywhere from an additional 300 to 500 calories per day. So in that phase of your cycle, that's when you want to be eating like heavier, more nourishing foods. And your body is also hungrier because you're burning more. So it makes sense that like you need to supplement more.
So the metabolic also follows the phases of our cycle as well.
Yes. Yeah. So it's really interesting because you would think that because like in the first half of the cycle, we have more energy, you would think like, oh, we're burning more, but we're actually not. We burn less in the first half and more in the second half. So, and for like practical tips, so the follicular phase, this is all about, it's the spring of your cycle. So it's all about newness. It's all about like exploration, curiosity, fun, play. And so our brain composition changes during this phase to help us like literally embrace new experiences. So for example, if you're wanting to start a new habit or like make some sort of a change in your life, I always encourage women to wait and do this in your follicular phase because your brain composition is going to support you in that. So it's going to be a lot easier for you to make some changes and integrate them into your life. And you'll probably feel more positive in general because you have all the like, you know, your estrogen's rising, you're like feeling good, it's exciting. So like, you know, my practical tip for that phase is just to like, if you want to do anything new, do it during that phase.
Okay.
Just have fun.
So when you say brain composition changes, do you mean like the neurochemistry?
Yeah.
Changes or
and like okay. this like the size.
Like more serotonin structure of our brain
the structure of our brain like actually like grows like shrinks
and so it shrinks when we're on our period.
Does it shrink when we're on our period?
I'm like that would make sense.
Yeah,
I feel like I can't even function mentally.
I'm trying to think of it. I have to reference back my notes to see like when it actually like when it actually shrinks. But yeah, it's like our amygdala is changing shape. There's a lot that's like going on. And so this is actually, as a side note, a lot of women don't understand that our hormones are governed by our brain. So we have, it's called like our HPA axis, which is our brain is basically sending signals to our hormones to do their jobs. It's this whole like very intricate communication system. And so it's not just like our brain plays a huge role in like our hormones as a whole and, you know, how we experience things emotionally and energetically. And yeah, it's so wild. It's like truly mind blowing. It really is.
The more that the more you continue to start to realize that life is just such a miracle and being here and having a body that has all of these automated functions. It's just doing it without us having to think about it.
And the
fact that I'm just blown away that the structure and the composition of our brain changes. Like,
yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy.
It's so wild. Up to 25%. Like 25%. That's a lot. Like that's not just like a tiny bit, you know? Like we're moving and grooving. Like our bodies are just like constantly doing so much during the course of the month, you know? I'm like, we are incredible. Like women are so incredible. So incredible.
We can handle so much. Way more than men. Way more than men. I'm just gonna say it. Our pain tolerance compared to them.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think if men had to give birth, I don't know if we would be here.
We would. We'd be really.
our planet would no longer exist.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Our body parts are so wild. Okay. So then from there, we move into our ovulation phase. So this is the shortest phase.
But it's like two days.
Right? Yeah. It's pretty short. Yeah.
I love how I feel, and I have always said, I'm like, I wonder what it would be, like, how much would I get done if I just had a month, if God just blessed me with a month of ovulation phase, like, I would be a billionaire.
Yeah, I don't even want to know what I would be capable of if I had, like, That's
an entire month of ovulation me.
Mm-hmm. The energy peak.
Yeah, energy's peak. Libido is peaking because estrogen is at its highest. This is also when testosterone makes a cameo. Mm-hmm. So this is when our like cognitive and our like verbal abilities are heightened. Mm-hmm. This is when we're going to feel our most confident. There's actually, this is crazy. There's a lot of research that is being done that shows that our facial structure actually shifts when you're ovulating.
I recognize
to like make
that.
Us like more attractive,
more beautiful.
Yeah. Because this is a time when like, from a primal standpoint, this is when we're supposed to mate.
Mating.
You know? And so,
wow.
Yeah. From a practical standpoint, I always encourage women, if you're a woman and you're dating, you're single and dating, I'm always like, be really, really careful when you're ovulating, because we are primed to mate. And so this is when we can just really start thinking with our pussy instead of like our logical, our mind, or even our intuition.
Don't date when you're ovulating.
Don't do it. Take those 3 days off.
Yeah,
just, that's like, go out with your girlfriends, have fun, dance, like feel yourself.
That's genius advice. That's so true.
It is.
I needed to hear that.
Okay. Well, I'm glad. Thanks for that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I think that it's, we just have to be careful, because you're like, are wanting to like, that's what your body is like wanting to do naturally, you know?
The body takes over a little bit.
It does. It really does. So that's like my practical tip if you're single. And then if you are, you know, if you have a partner, like, of course, I always like encourage women, like take advantage of this time sexually, like have fun, experiment, explore, like really like capitalize on this time, because in your next phase, this is when your the luteal phase, this is when your hormone levels start to drop, well, your estrogen drops, and estrogen is responsible for our libido. Mm-hmm. And so like essentially, because if you think about it, after our ovulation window closes, our body doesn't need to be sexual anymore because we no longer are able to make a baby. So from like a biological and like a chemical standpoint, like the need is no longer there. And so our libido kind of like takes an exit, so that progesterone, which is the second hormone at play in our cycle, can either, progesterone's rising and it's basically either making the baby or helping like the pregnancy to happen, or it's preparing for us to shed our uterine lining so that we can do it all over again. So in the second half of the cycle, like I always tell women, if you don't feel as sexual, like that's normal, because your biology is literally meant to not be quite as sexual,
right?
And so capitalize it on it when you can, because you're gonna be feeling yourself when you're ovulating. So it's like, go have fun.
And it's only 2 days. So
three to five technically.
Three to five.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, three to five.
That's better.
Just depending. Like technically, three to five.
Okay, good.
But yeah, another like really crazy thing actually, since we're like on the topic of like sexuality and the cycle, is that our cervix changes shape, position, and texture during the course of our cycle. So sex is also going to be way more enjoyable in your follicular and your ovulation phase, because your cervix is really soft and it's really open, because it's like a tunnel for sperm, right? And right. So the cervix is like, I'm open for business, like
we're ready.
It wants it to be a straight shot. So versus as soon as you finish ovulating, your cervix closes, it shifts position, and it gets hard. So it basically becomes impossible for sperm to get through, which is why you cannot get pregnant, because your cervix becomes like a barrier. Mm-hmm. And so,
and that's during menstruation as well, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So this is why you could enjoy one position, let's say during your follicular and your ovulation phase, And then you could go to try that same position again in your luteal phase, and it might be really uncomfortable or not as enjoyable. And it's because of the fact that your cervix has moved, shifted, and changed shape and texture. And so this is like another like incredible thing about cycle syncing. And when you start to get to know your body, because then you can start to tailor your sex life to your body. And you can start to have this understanding of like, oh, okay, like I know now that during this phase, like my partner knows in my luteal phase, my libido is down. And so like the approach needs to be different. Like ovulation phase, I could be like, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Like, let's have some fun, like hot steamy quickies, versus in my luteal phase, I'm like, no, I need at least 30 minutes of foreplay. Like,
yeah.
You know, because our lubrication changes with our cycle and with our hormones. So we're not as wet in our, like in the luteal phase as we are in, you know, our ovulation phase. And so our body is going through all of these changes. Mm-hmm. And when you start to have an understanding of them, then this is when you can, you start working with them. And this is when you start making the lifestyle adjustments. So you're like, okay, I'm tweaking this in my sex life. I'm tweaking this in my business. I'm tweaking this in my, you know, in my nutrition, I'm tweaking this in my workouts.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, things just start to flow so much easier because you're not like fighting up against a barrier, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you were in your, let's say in your luteal phase, when your energy levels are low and your libido's gone, and you try to work out really hard, take on a big project at work, and try and have like a super hot sex date, like it's like wall, 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 and all of a sudden you're left thinking like, oh my god, what's wrong with me? Like, why couldn't I do that workout? Why can't, you know, my brain work as quickly? Why am I not turned on? Like, what's wrong?
Shame, judgment, and then it's just that downward spiral.
Yes,
of
yes,
not yes, realizing, because knowing this information is so empowering. And also I'm putting the intention out there that men are listening to this too, because as you were speaking to all of that, of course I'm learning new things, you know, and I'm reflecting it to times where certain positions have been painful when they're usually not, and just the changes of the internal structure.
Yeah.
Right. And to also know that as a woman, of course that's empowering itself, but to then also have a man, if obviously you're attracted to the opposite sex, if that's what you want, like to have a man that is number one curious and wants to learn and wants to understand the ever infinite changes of the feminine and of our literal, our physical bodies as well.
Yeah.
I would just feel so held, so seen, so safe to have a partner that was like, I'm going to learn that. Or spent his time trying to learn that, or just men that are also trying to learn about women. Yeah. As women, we're trying to learn about men so we can come back to a sense of unity instead of division. Because right now we're just experiencing so much division, right?
And it's making,
it's exacerbating the issues that we have.
Yeah.
This information is powerful.
Yeah.
Very, very powerful.
I mean, I honestly, like, I speak into this a lot, actually, as anyone that's in a relationship, that if you bring cycle syncing into your relationship, like, it's a game changer. Like, it is such a game changer. And I think that as women, you know, one of the things that we're up against is all of this, like, conditioning and messaging of, like, well, don't be too much. Don't be too emotional. Don't express yourself too much. Don't be needy, right? And like, understanding your cycle is this really beautiful tool to help you learn how to communicate your needs. And when you, I think some of the hardest things is learning, how do we communicate our needs within a relationship, right? Mm-hmm. How do we say to our partners, like, I need you to show up for me in this way, right? And men are so logical and, like, you know, like the masculine is logic, it's structural based, it's like fact based. And so, like, when I first explained, like, my cycle to my partner, I'm like, look, here's the four phases. This is what's going on. This is what you can expect from me. Like, this is what I need from you. Mm-hmm. He was like, oh, that makes so much sense. And
he's like a huge advocate. I like want him to get on social media because he's like, men need to know this. Like men need to know and understand this stuff.
Be that catalyst. Be that catalyst.
Like, you know, it just, it changes everything because it's like, now if I am feeling extra, like literally yesterday I texted him and I was like, I'm feeling super sensitive today. Like I just need more love. Like I just need, when you come home, like I'm just in my, I'm really, I've already cried 3 times today. I'm feeling super sensitive and like, I just need to be coddled. Like there's nothing specific, right? But it's like, I just need to be coddled. And like, and so it's even just that, like being able to speak into communicating, like as a woman, this is what I need. And yes, it actually, like, we need to just, like, rewrite the narrative around, like, we're being hormonal. It's like, yeah, I actually literally am because it governs my body. Like, it runs the show.
Duh.
Like, yes. Yes.
So, I am a hormonal being. And by the way, you wouldn't be here. Right. You, meaning everybody on this planet, would not be here if this did not exist. So stop shitting on me for it.
Right. Yes.
It's so frustrating.
It is super frustrating. And I think that, I mean, men, I actually recently created a guy's guide to cycle syncing. It's like a free download on my website. And it's actually my most downloaded e-guide. However, most
can
of
you
time,
drop your website really quick?
Can I?
Plug, oh, can plug I it. It? No, plug it.
awakenthewild.net.
There we go.
awakenthewild.net. I'm like, wait, you want me to type it? I don't know how to do that.
You're like,
But it's written like for men. Like in the beginning, I'm like,
I love that.
Dear man, basically. And I have like, my partner has like a testimonial in there of like his message to men. And you know, women are downloading it, which is wonderful because I'm like, give it to your partner and just say, hey, can you just read this? Like it's broken down into like really simple terms. And like, you know, I try to keep it really light and just like, hey, this is just what's going on. And this is how you can show up and support your partner. And I mean, women, whether you're dating a man or married to a man or a woman or whoever, but you know, it's different if you're a woman with a woman, because then you're both going through it.
Yeah, you get each other.
You get it. It's not as much of an uphill battle to climb when we have two women versus like with men, it's just such a, you know, foreign language. And so, but we need both. Like we need the support of the masculine in these ways so that, you know, and I know this is something you talk a lot about on your channel, is like the rise of the feminine. And we need, in order for us as women to be able to surrender into our feminine, we have to be held. We need that foundation of, you know, the masculine energy and both within us and outside of us. And we've been living in a society that's just so unbalanced.
Yeah.
So unbalanced externally. We're so unbalanced internally, you know, and so with all of this, it's like, it's just really to bring back the balance, to restore the harmony that our planet needs right now. Cause we're just like, we're going down the shitter.
Absolutely. It makes me, I just got tears in my eyes as you were saying that. It makes me so emotional because just a vulnerable moment here. I'm not somebody that has experienced the healthiest expression of men, of the masculine. Mm-hmm. And I'm somebody that heavily operated in my masculine for years to the point of it was like destroying me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't start learning about the feminine and kind of being forced into it until I moved to Costa Rica 2 years ago. And then it's been this, you know, 2 year transition. Like if you would have met me 2.5 years ago, I was a completely different person. I was stressed out. I was worried. I was running. I was sprinting through life, you know, so in my masculine, still very emotional, very sensitive creature, but like, I moved fast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
Long story short, the reason why I'm sharing this is because I know that there's so many women that can relate to, as you are speaking about you, your partner, like that's the synergy. That's so beautiful. And the need for the masculine, which I have a very strong masculine within myself, but the need to actually really be held by a man, mm-hmm. like, or yeah. I'm not a very strong masculine presence, which is yeah. simply an energy. So that yeah. we can unfold safely into our feminine.
Yeah.
That is something we need. And that is something that is so healing.
Yeah.
I've had very platonic relationships that have been supportive mm. and safe in that way with, mm-hmm. with the masculine. But it's also so, and maybe this is just a limiting belief from my experience, I feel like it's so hard to find that nourishing masculine presence. Mm-hmm. Right now.
Yeah.
And, but that is also such an intricate, necessary part of your healing journey as you're moving into your feminine as yeah. well.
Yeah.
So that's just what came through is like, ugh, that need, that desire, but also the doubt that it's mm-hmm. possible.
Yeah. No way. I mean, I really just want to honor you for saying that, because I think that sometimes the hardest thing, like I struggle with sometimes, is especially when you're in this world of spirituality and creating and manifesting and all of these things, sometimes the hardest thing for me is to say I have this limiting belief, like, and it's like I don't want to admit it because I'm like, no, I'm not allowed to have that. But like the truth is sometimes they exist, and that's a very real part of your experience right now.
Yeah.
You know, and like we can't forego the things that have happened in the past that have led to this point where you've had these experiences that are causing you to have this like fear, belief, what have you, of like, is this possible, you know? And I think it's difficult to vocalize that, and so I just want to like honor your courage for vocalizing that. And I believe that it is of course possible. You know, I think we're in this very interesting place in the world right now where there's so much polarity.
Yeah,
like it's like, as much as the women are starting to, the feminine is starting to rise, it's shining this really big mirror to the masculine where it's like, yes. they're like, oh shit, like I'm not holding the space. I'm not showing up in my masculine. I'm not doing all of these things. And I think that also like a huge part of this is the fact that like, if you think about like the generational conditioning that the men of today have received, right. so much of it has been around the fact that they need to be financial providers. Like that being a man means like having a house or the car or the job or the 401k and all of these things. And I hear women talking about how they want to meet a man who's going to take care of them. And it's often in the context of the 3D things. Mm-hmm. And the sad reality is that men haven't had the education around what it actually means to, like, you cannot have a pot to pee in, but you can be an incredibly masculine man if you know how to hold space and you know how to hold someone's emotions, right? And you know how to hold, be there in a supportive, loving, healthy way.
Yeah,
you could also be in the total opposite end. You could have all the physical things in the world and be that quote unquote like male provider, but if you don't know how to hold space, like
if you don't know how to be emotionally safe,
exactly. And no one has taught men how really to be emotionally safe, you know? And so it's this yeah. weird time because I think as women, to some extent, it's like I think the real truth is that as women, like we are the leaders, like. We are the leaders. We always have been. You look back historically, ain't like, sure, there were kings, but who was giving the kings the direction? It was the women. It was the oracles. It was the shamanas. Like, right. And so, like, we are the leaders. And so it's this weird, like, I don't even know how to put it into words around this, the feminine. It's like we have to rise. And as we rise, what we're doing is actually leading. And as we're leading, we're reflecting. And there's this mirror. So all the shadows of the masculine are coming up right now. And we're seeing it in these really big ways at an energetic, a planetary level. And there's so much polarity that it's almost like there's this war happening. There's a war happening between the masculine and the feminine right now. And I think that it's almost like the messages I've been receiving is it's like the last standoff. You know what I mean? It's like we're at this really big energetic turning point. And as women, if we're courageous enough to say, okay, I'm going to continue to step into my feminine and I'm going to continue to trust and to lead in this way, that there are men who are going to rise, who are going to see that mirror, and who are going to start stepping up in ways that they haven't before. And I feel like I'm seeing it, you know, I do feel like I'm seeing a lot more of it, but I do still think we have a ways to go. And I think that, we're just in this like really tender, tender time right now on the planet.
Yeah. And I feel you're so right. It's not even our duty, so to speak, but it's our natural constitution to lead energetically, spiritually.
Yeah.
Feminine is rising. Mama Gaia, Mother Earth, she's speaking to us. The goddess herself is rising. And I think we're realizing, like, we got pushed into our masculine, and then we kind of pushed men into their feminine a little bit.
Yeah, so we're leading in the way of coming back home to our true essence, and it causes the men and the masculine in this world to have to do the same as well. Mm-hmm. So you're right. I'm just a little wounded right now. I'm just a little sensitive, and I know that there's a lot of women that are in that space too, that go through so many things in life where it gets to a point where we're like, okay, if we keep trying the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, that's the definition of insanity, right? But I do have men and friends that are friends in my life that I can see are doing the work.
Yeah.
And I know it is possible, but it's so true how this shadow is like, the masculine shadow is being thrown right into their face.
Oh, yeah.
And I know a lot of masculines are hurting right now because of it.
Yeah.
And also the compassion piece is like, you're right. Like they were taught and programmed a specific way.
Yeah.
And there has to be that willingness to do that shedding and that rewiring process of just because I was told that this is what it means to be a man or to be masculine.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's true and there's more to it. So.
Right.
It's a beautiful process.
There's like almost this like identity crisis, you know, in some ways it's happening where a lot of men are like, wait a second, I've been programmed and taught all of this like my whole life. And now I'm kind of being told that I need to show up in this like very different way, you know?
Yeah.
And what's interesting is that like, so obviously I'm from the US. My partner is Costa Rican. We met in Costa Rica. So when you said you lived in Costa Rica, I was like, oh, funny.
Oh my God, that's so crazy.
And something that I've realized since like being with him is like, one, there is such a huge, like in the US, we have a lot of access to like, you know, spirituality in a sense is like trending, right? It's like there are platforms, there are speakers, there are thought leaders, there are books, there are all of these resources that, you know, in the US, we have all this privilege to this information versus like, you know, my partner grew up in Limon in like, you know, very impoverished, you know, place in Costa Rica. And like, there's nothing, like there's no teachings, there's no, like half of the books that are even available to us, like they don't even have translated in Spanish, you know, there's
the spiritual leaders and the men, you know, in the US who are kind of on the forefront of these like masculine movements, people in third world countries, they can't understand it because most people don't speak English, you know? And so it's also been this just kind of, and I'm sure, you know, you can probably relate to having lived in Costa Rica, and I know you were just in Colombia, that like there's also these very different, like for me, sometimes I have to remember like, oh, it seems like men should be farther ahead because it seems like there's all these resources, but then I'm like, actually, there's so many places in the world where there's zero resources and they're still, you know, living kind of in this machismo, you know, very macho, like masculine energy. And so it's like, even like, and then when you think about energetically, right, as a collective, big energetic shifts, the more people that you have moving in one energetic direction. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about all the people and the men that don't even have access to this information, you know, it's like, oh, it makes sense to me why what's happening right now is happening and why there are so many men who are like struggling and who it's like, there's, you know, there's big stuff happening, but there's still a majority of people that have never even heard of the term. Like if I were to walk down the street here in Spain and say the term divine masculine to someone, they would have no idea what I was talking about. No idea. Like, you know what I mean? They're like, divine masculine? Like, what is that? Like, oh, don't you know that, you know? And so,
yeah, that's true.
It's just like, from like a bigger, sometimes I have to like check myself because I get frustrated because I'm like, why are more men not stepping up? Why aren't they seeing this? Why isn't this shit happening faster? Especially, I think, as women, because we're naturally like, we learn to talk first. Like, we're like, we're always kind of like, I've always gone through the game.
Yep.
You know? And so it can be really frustrating. And so for me, something that's just been really helpful is like coming back to that place of compassion of like, okay, like there hasn't been as much opportunity. There hasn't been education. So how can I show up in my feminine, coming from a place of love and compassion, while also not accepting unacceptable behavior, while also, you know, like teaching, but like all coming from this place of love. And sometimes I struggle because I just get really angry, to be honest. You know, I get really angry. And then when I start like diving into things around the patriarchy and how as women, we have been just so fucked over and over and over and over again and silenced and oppressed. And my blood starts to boil. Like, and then next thing you know, I'm in like full blown rage mode. I'm like, okay,
Jess. Yeah. Yeah, right. And that feminine rage Ooh. Is potent, and it's necessary, and for us, it's lifetimes.
Yeah,
it's lifetimes. I just got a healing the other day, and I have majority of my injuries and my pain are all on my left side. And if you know about energy healing and the energetics of the body, the right side is the masculine, the left side is the feminine. All of my injuries and pains are on my left side. All of it is feminine. And I realized in this energy healing the other day that I was literally carrying the weight of the trauma that the feminine collective has experienced in my body, you know, as if it's my own burden. And you know, we're getting a little bit on this tangent, so I want to bring us back really home. Quick. I want to bring it back to the phases really quickly, and then I feel like we're gonna keep going in this for like 3 hours. If
next
we don't.
Thing you know, we're gonna be out in like the cosmos,
the creation of God itself, who was a woman. Who knows?
Who was a woman?
She was an incredible favor, and like, subscribe, share, rate, do all the things to help this podcast keep going. And if you want to be a gem and you want to support the ongoing production of this podcast, you can also go to my snip feed for the podcast, which is located in the link in the podcast Instagram, Limitless Being Podcast on Instagram. There's a snip feed if you'd like to donate. That would mean everything to us so that we can keep the production of this podcast. Again, like, share, subscribe, tell me what you think, tell me how you feel. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day.